This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
WGR Sports Radio 550. It's time to take a look inside high school sports. Now, here's your host, Tony Caligiuri.
Inside High School Sports is brought to you by Minio and Sapio Italian Sausage. Taste the difference quality makes.
Good morning and welcome to Inside. Don't get me going this early. Good morning and welcome to Inside.
Good morning with words, doesn't he?
Oh, that caught me off guard. All right, Kyrie Demos from the Niagara Gazette. Roger Weiss is here, and we are joined by Dan Kaplan and Joe Biondo, Section 6 Boys and Girls Chairpersons. The chairmen or chairpersons? I want to be politically correct here, Dan.
We'll say chairpersons.
Chairpersons. I don't want to get in trouble here, you know.
Chair peeps.
I get in enough trouble down the dial. I don't need any more on a Saturday. We have a lot to talk about today. As you guessed it, we will be talking about bowling. We have our G&G Fitness Coach of the Week coming up. News and notes time. But first, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, that's funny, Roger. Everybody's been trying that on me. Here's the thing. I had a procedure done Thursday to open up my ears. What they had to do was, because of the pneumonia, I had fluid build up behind my eardrum. So the doctor had to put holes in my eardrums. Yeah. My biggest thing was I was fearing the shots. I've had shots in my ears before, and that's no picnic. So he says, no, we're not going to give you shots, so we're just going to numb it topically. So that's what he did. And then I could feel him going in there. But that wasn't the worst part. The worst part was when they stick the tube in to suck out the fluid. It's like somebody started a jet engine in my ear.
And welcome to Inside Gruesome Talk.
Yeah, it's really, really nasty. I hope you had your breakfast
welcome
already.
To Inside Tony's ears.
Well, no, we used to do that. We had one teacher. I can't remember what grade, and she had a hearing aid, so the people would literally talk without volume and all that, and she thinks that, well, then when she turned up the hearing aid up, then the next time we talked, they were literally shouting it.
Had a dollar for every person that's done that to me in the last 2 days, I'd have enough to buy dinner tonight, let me tell you. Man. And I wear hearing aids, so even with hearing aids, it was very difficult to hear. I have hearing loss as it is, and then on top of that, with the fluid back there, it was 20% less hearing.
Oh. Well, so it's got to be good now just with the headphones. You don't have to take the hearing aid in and out and put the headphones on.
Yeah, I can actually hear you.
That actually looked like it was very uncomfortable for you.
I can actually hear you without my hearing aids now. And, I mean, you know, you could ask my kids. They're sick and tired of shouting. It was great when my wife needed something. Well, sorry, honey, I can't hear you. So some things work out.
There's no meaning in tuning the wife out, huh?
It sure does. Hey, listen, before we get going in on our discussion today, I just wanted to say my thoughts and prayers are out there with Jeremy White and his family. Very difficult times for you, buddy, and anything you need, I'm here for you. All right. Let's get into talking news and notes, and obviously the big news that's been going on, and we've been talking about this for a couple of weeks, is the fiasco, for lack of a better term, that went on between Section 6 and the Buffalo Public Schools. To give you the condensed version, Section 6 decided that it was going to do something different. It was going to take off the classifications and just let you play in your leagues. So if you're Niagara Falls High School, you play in the NFL. If you're,
Wilson.
New Orleans. Yeah, Wilson. You're playing the New Orleans League or you're in ECIC. Well, that left the Buffalo Public Schools out by themselves, basically. And there's only 5 teams, as opposed to the 11 teams when I played. So they had, was faced with, all right, how do we fill a schedule? And there was all kinds of rhetoric on social media. This is racism. This is segregation. And just a whole lot of nonsense. Common sense tells you that they were doing this to try to save some traveling costs. Well, that wasn't good enough. So everybody was flipping out. Well, they had a change. Well, first Buffalo applied for ECIC. Mm-hmm. They were denied. Yeah. And then Section 6 said, look, instead of just everybody losing their minds over this, let's just go back to the way it was. And that's what it was. In fact, I believe, and I saw it on Twitter this morning, there was a meeting yesterday between Section 6 and Buffalo Public School Athletics. I don't know how it went. As it was described, that it was a productive, it was a good meeting. That's something that should have taken place before any decisions were made. So I want to get your thoughts, guys, one more time on the situation. And Kyrie, you wrote a very nice piece on this in the Niagara Gazette. We'll let you kick it off.
Well, thank you for that. But, yeah, you know, that's really just the big thing is, you know, a lot of people just – that's what they wanted was a meeting. You know, talking with some of the coaches in the NO and the NFL, like Coach Bradshaw from Louport, Coach Smith from Lockport, you know, it really just seemed like they were just out in the dark, lack of communication from Section 6, and it really seemed like things were just – almost rushed, like, hey, look, we're getting this idea out, take it or leave it, all right, we're moving forward. You know, there was no real conference, no meeting, no real plan, it seemed like. So I think,
and no backup plan
either, clearly, you know, because now that we're going back to what we originally had, clearly there was no backup plan. So I just feel like you know, that it could have been handled differently, but now at least for 2020 it's put to bed, and it'll be at least something that we can revisit with a better plan for 2021.
What I don't like is that, you know, people out there fanning the flames, trying to look into something. You know, as I mentioned, racism and segregation. There was another radio station that is dedicated a couple of their programs to it, and it's just nonsense. It really is.
Yeah. I mean, you know, personally, as a person of color, you know, I can understand why the Buffalo Public Schools felt ostracized and, you know, felt like they were left to the side a little bit. But
you brought up a great point last week. You said if that was the case, Niagara Falls and Cheektowaga would have been targeted.
Yeah, we talked about this, you know, off air. You know, Cheektowaga is essentially a city school. You know, they weren't necessarily harmed by this. Niagara Falls would benefit from this, you know, to a degree.
Especially Cleve Hill and Cheektowaga, right? High School, both in
first-ring districts.
Exactly. And Lackawanna is also first ring, too. The only one that, what, first ring that might not fall into that genre, if that's the correct word, would be West Seneca. But, like I say, Kyrie, once again, I said it off the air. I want to say it on the air. Great article.
I appreciate
it. You know, I think you put a lot of stuff out there that wasn't out there prior to that.
Thank you.
Anthony, I'm going to repeat what I said last week. I might have said it off the air. On the air, the reason I'm not buying the section's quote reasoning unquote on it, I have two. Number one, the big difference in football as opposed to all the other sports. In all the other sports, you can be 0-20, you qualify for the playoffs.
Very true.
That does not work out in football. And therefore, to me, you have to, during the regular season, to establish a playoff position, have to be, you know, beat or beaten by teams in your own classification, be it double A. The other one that I really won't buy is this geographical travel rivalry issue, alleged issue, and here's why. Okay, I understand in Class C that either Gowanda or Silver Creek or possibly Dunker, one of them would have to be in, quote, Class C North, because there's so many more Class C teams from down south than up north. And for that, travel is a restriction. Bearing in mind, in theory, it's only every other year. You gotta, if Wilson plays Silver Creek, 1 year it's at Wilson, the next year it's at Silver Creek. Having said that, but in
still,
class,
that's a long haul.
Yeah, yes. For either side.
Okay, but we're talking once a year. It's not like they have to play every
Niagara
game
Falls
up there
to Jamestown. It would have benefited Niagara Falls to stay up with the NFL teams.
Right.
Yeah, if they want to play no other team.
How about Lakeshore to Louport?
Okay. That I'm bringing up. That's my second point. Okay. They talk about geography. Yet, and last year for sure, and it may have been the year before, Class A and Class B, instead of dividing geographically, they opted to classify by
By side.
Bed numbers.
Okay, yeah.
So now you have Chickawauga, Lakeshore, Louport, East Aurora, and Pioneer in the one classification. Dunkirk, Iroquois, Maryvale, Medina, Maritime, Burgard, Eden, Alden, Tonawanda, and Newfane in the third classification. If they could have done it geographically, I would have had a north with Louport, Albion, Medina, Tonawanda, and Newfane. Mm-hmm. South, I would have had Lakeshore, Dunkirk, Olean, Springville, and Pioneer, all a lot closer than some of the travels. The third one would have been what? East Aurora, Iroquois, Eden, Alden, Lackawanna. And what did I leave out? It must be Chickawauga, Maryvale, Maritime, Burgard, and Depew. Likewise in Class A, I mean, they had West Seneca East and West Seneca West in opposite divisions.
Yeah, that makes
they
no
had
sense.
Ken East and Ken West in opposite
did
divisions.
Did they do that because of the annual rivalry game? That the fact that you still
play, they still play anyways.
I understand that, but they're talking about geographical differences and then completely make a mishmash out of it.
Right.
Yeah, I think, you know, I'm glad meetings and people are talking, and that's what needs to happen. People need to get together and put what's best forward. Dan, let's get your thoughts on this if you want to chime in.
There were just a couple of things that jumped out at me, like, and I thought it involved kind of some of the articles I read maybe in the news, like just the headline from the news saying that the city schools were back in Section 6.
They were never
out of Section 6, okay? As much as they didn't agree with some of the things that went on, no one kicked them out of Section 6. They were going to be in their own division, which they didn't like, which is fine, but they still had opportunities to qualify for sectionals, just like the other leagues. But the article went on to say how that they changed the rule now that barred the team, Buffalo teams. They were never barred. They were never out of Section 6. And that kind of fanned the flames to some of the issues that went on this past week. And so,
what about the ridiculous assertion that they're afraid to play the city teams?
I don't think anyone's afraid to play the city. The city teams have had success, but I don't think it was a matter of, oh, South Park won states, we don't want them in. South Park is a great program. I know Timmy Delaney, but if that was the case, they would say, we don't want Orchard Park in our division. We don't want Chickawauga in our division.
We don't want Lancaster.
Right, Lancaster. I mean, Buffalo had success, just like ECIC had success, just like the NFL had success. So I don't think that was one of the issues that people were saying, let's get them out of the league because they had success.
I've never met a coach in my life that's afraid to play anyone.
Teams will line up to play South Park. Even if they're in their Buffalo City School division, they're going to have non-leagues. Don't think no one would... Teams are going to want to play a team like South Park. You know they're bringing a good program. So it's not a question of no one will play these schools. Those are the things that came out.
Excuse me. Do you think there is some animosity, though? The one that did make sense, and most of those race card things I wasn't crazy about either. But the one thing I did, do you think there was some animosity because the Class A final this year had two city schools?
No.
No.
Okay. I was hearing a lot of that. And, you know, I don't know.
Here's the thing. If you're a coach and you're afraid to play someone, you shouldn't coach. That's pretty much it.
I'm glad you brought up the point, though, about, you know, they could still play teams outside of their Buffalo Public School League, because that would have been the case. They would have had to. You only have five teams in your league. That means you have four league games. That means you have three more games that you have to fill your non-league schedule with. So who are you going to draw from? Probably not going to go to Section 5. You've got a bunch of teams right here in Section 6.
And you're not getting points for playing Monsignor Martin.
Right.
You're getting points for anyone you play.
Anybody.
I'm pretty sure the way it was set up with the PowerPoints,
yeah,
you play seven games, whether they're seven league games, 5-2, 4-3. So every game you would have played would have counted toward your PowerPoints.
Okay, right. Yeah.
So every team would have the same amount of... It's actually PowerPoint average.
Right. Yeah. Every team would have had the same amount of opportunities, whether it was seven league games because your league maybe has eight teams, or in Buffalo's case, if they would have had four league games, they would have had three non-league games to play whoever they get on their schedule, right, which would count toward their qualifying for sectionals.
Actually, it would be two. Wouldn't Maritime be included in that?
Maritime hasn't been mentioned all week, so I don't know if they're included in the Buffalo. I think they're doing an independent schedule.
Yeah, that's what they're
so
playing.
That's a whole nother. But still, their independent schedule, whoever they play, they're getting power points based on those wins against who they play.
Joe Biondo, you want to your thoughts?
I think a lot of it has to do with miscommunication. I really, really do. I mean, when you look at the problems in society, it's miscommunication, right? I think there's a lot of miscommunication. I also think that anytime you have change, we did reorganization in our bowling divisions maybe 4 or 5 years ago. There were coaches that didn't like that. There were people that didn't like that. So you're going to have people who like what's going to be happening. There are people who dislike what's going to be happening. Honestly, when they brought the city schools into, you know, with the other divisions a number of years ago, I thought it was a great idea. You know, they needed to qualify for the state playoffs and everything else, and you get a state champion like South Park and everything else. Let the best play the best. Let's have the A schools play the A schools, the B schools play the B schools, and let's have the best play the best, and let's see who's going to be the champion. You know what I mean?
Well, you hit it on the head. Let the A schools play the A schools. Under the new proposed setup, it wouldn't have necessarily been that way.
Absolutely.
That's true. That's very
true. And when you get to football, I think there's a huge disparity sometimes in a lot of divisions when you're comparing the beds forms and the school sizes and everything else. You know, I think what they had was a good thing, and I'm not sure, you know, we'll have to see how this plays out. Honestly.
The way it's set up, though, if they did it that way, Niagara Falls could go undefeated and Absolutely. Not get a home game in the playoffs Very because true. Of the lack of PowerPoint.
And then vice versa, a school like Burgard, you know, if they were
you had to bring up Burgard.
I had to. In an all BPS league, let's say they knock off one of their two AA counterparts and then one of their A counterparts.
Those are seven power points if they knock off the Hutch Tech and what's the other one? Bennett.
Exactly.
And six power points if they knock off McKinley or South Park.
Exactly. So, like, they can use that in their favor, because then at that point, if you fill your schedule out with, you know, other B schools, maybe a C school, then at that point, yeah, you're playing a much more level playing field non-league, but you can earn that extra incentive in your own league. So
if the state were to bring back one of the games that it had taken away years ago, would that help? Or hurt?
I don't know if it would help. I mean, it'd be an extra non-league game.
Did they
I guess.
Take away football?
But what I'm saying is because, okay, let's say you've got one of the playoffs, B schools, yeah. They you know, would play their schedule, but they would have an extra game to schedule that you know, maybe a city school. That's the way I was looking at it. Just throwing it out
there. Are you saying, in other words, go back to only four teams make the playoffs in each?
No. I was saying, because remember, the state had taken away a game that that we used to play, so you would give you a chance to add an extra game. So if you're filled with league obligations, mm-hmm. you would now have and rivalry obligation, you would right. now have that extra week to schedule a you know, a city team or whatever or an independent.
Because most teams get one, maybe two non-leaguers.
Usually two. One's a rivalry game and then one's a non-league game. So right. yeah, you're usually 5-2.
All right, guys, let's take a break. When we come back, we're going to get into bowling. That's what we're here for today. In fact, last night I was out watching my buddy's bowl at Bowlodrome just to get excited for this program. I love bowling. It's a great sport. It's a lot of fun. Oh, and by the way, speaking of bowling, get well, Tom Prince. He couldn't make it this morning. He's under the weather, and Tom's a huge bowling fan, bowling most of his life, so I know he wanted to be here. All right, let's take a break. We'll be back with more Inside High School Sports. We're back and listening to Inside High School Sports. I'm your host, Tony Caligiuri, along with Kyrie Demos from the Niagara Gazette, Roger Weiss, and we have Dan Kaplan and Joe Biondo, Section 6 Boys and Girls Chairpersons. Before we get into talking about getting into bowling, I do want to have some news and notes here, and this is from our good friend Bill Pavone. Two coaches have been at the helm for all 10 years of league for Girls Federation Hockey, and on Tuesday, Jeff Orlowski will coach his 200th game behind the Kenji bench, and Rick Hopkins is currently at 196 for Williamsville. Didn't Williamsville just win the championship?
Yes, they beat Lid.
Yeah, they beat the Lid.
8-1. That was.
There's no meaning between, to put a lid on it, huh?
Yeah, they did. Between the two of them, 214 wins, two regular season league titles, three federation titles, six sectional titles, three state final appearances, and one New York State championship. So congratulations to them. Also, please join us congratulating Dylan Scriven, I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, on his recent scholarship essay award from the New York State Athletic Administrators Association. Dylan has been selected as the 2020 male recipient of this honor based on an essay that he wrote describing the impact athletics have had on his life. Dylan will be recognized at a Section 6 celebration in the spring, and his essay will be forwarded to the next round where he will compete with student-athletes from across New York State. Great job, Dylan, I believe from Westfield. Thanks to Brian Thomas for that. Also, the Jim McNally Wildcat Offense Clinic will be held Saturday, March 21st. I believe I'm going to go to this. I have to show up late. From 9 till 2 at Kenmore East High School, there is no fee for this clinic. Must have a minimum of 20 coaches sign up. Registration deadline, Friday, March 13th. If you are interested, email Pat Veltri at pvelteri@ktufsd.org. That's where you go to register. Information is on our Inside High School Sports Facebook page. Roger, before I get to G&G Fitness Coach of the Week.
Real quick, I just want to say I was at the Jolly Boys tournament at Amherst High School last night. Now, I got there for the Middle College Amherst game. Great game. Amherst wins at the buzzer. The two things I do want to mention, though, good to see Benji Blumen was there as a spectator. So glad to see he's out and about after the episode at Will East High School about a month ago. And the other thing, this is the 15th year of this classic. Take a wild guess. Back in 2004, who was the MVP of the very first Jolly Boys Classic?
I have no idea.
Some guy, I think his first name is Robert and his last name is Gronkowski. Does that make you feel nice and young? And he was the MVP of the Jolly Boys tournament.
Yeah, as I said, I remember doing the games at WXRL and talking to him before Williamsville North would play Lancaster. Definitely a character. And speaking of Gronkowski, G&G Fitness.
How's that for a nice segue?
G&G Fitness Coach of the Week. Congratulations to Bob North of Westfield. 400th career win in boys basketball. That's outstanding.
Gee, he only has 211 more to catch up to Mel Swanson.
That's it.
Real close.
All right, let's get into bowl and cap. Who's hot and who's not?
Well, we're excited because we're about 3 weeks away, a little less than 3 weeks away to our sectionals. So we've got we're just finishing up our league matches. We've got next Saturday's a big Section 6 Invitational Tournament where most of the top schools will be attending, and it's kind of a nice precursor for sectionals. You get a real good idea. You're bowling on the same sectional pattern. You're bowling with all the teams you'll probably be competing with. So it we're excited this time of the year. We've got a nice group of teams that, like, Joe and I have been talking, and we've kind of broken them into who should be competing for the title, who are kind of our sleepers that are going to be competing for the title. So we're excited this year. Yeah, it's wide open, that's for sure. So
all right, let's start with the boys. Who are some of the top programs this year?
Well, it's broken into Division I, Division II, large and small. The state did that 2 years ago, and it actually works great. So we're sending two boys champions, two girls champions to states. For the boys, there's two, I want to say, big boys on the block. It's pretty much West Seneca West and Niagara Falls. Now, on paper, based on averages, they are probably the teams to beat. They've been battling in some of the tournaments. But there's the usual cast of characters that are there. The Joe coaches the Orchard Park boys team that have been going to states the last few years. Frontier's always a scary team. And then we have our two sleepers that are kind of in their own little division, Clarence and Star Point, and they haven't been in the tournaments this year, the outside tournaments, so we really haven't gotten a good look at them, but know they're two very well-coached teams, and both of them are kind of sitting in the back waiting, but Niagara Falls and West Seneca have got, like, West Seneca's got, I think, six boys over 200. They're
Jamestown's
gonna, and Jamestown's the other team.
Jamestown's got a few horses, too. I don't think Clarence is a sleeper. I would put them as a contender as well as Star Point. I think both teams, and a shout-out to Nick Coleman from Star Point, who bowled a 300 this week, his first 300 ever. Yeah, great kid. I know the dad personally, so shout out to him. But the I think Starpoint and Clarence are definitely contenders. I would agree with Dan that Niagara Falls and West Seneca, just by the way they finished in most of the tournaments around Western New York, they're probably the leaders of the pack. But you know, I think Clarence and Starpoint, you know, even Jamestown, they got a couple of horses on their team that are pretty good too. So I think the competition is it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun to see. And like this week. Like Dan said, this week at the tournament which we host, the Section 6 Invitational, most of those teams will be there.
Now, you mentioned a 300. Have there been many 300s this year?
I think not if the Buffalo News listing is accurate. The high game prior to this week, then, I think somebody bowled a 290.
Yeah, I think Coleman's might be the only 300 that I know about.
That comes to mind, yeah.
At least in, what do you want to call it, the high school competition this year.
Yeah, I know that. Yeah, I don't. That was the only 300 that I know of. So good for him. We've had some big scores. I mean, we've got some individuals that are.
Well, I imagine off the there's sheets. Several that have been flirting with it.
Oh yeah.
Well, yeah. 280. Every tournament, there's somebody that's into the ninth frame. I was just out at Wimbledon. We were bowling West Seneca East, and one of the kids from West Seneca West, last name is Tojek. He had Noah. He had the first nine. Uh-huh. And then left a 610 in the 10th frame.
Picked
it up. But,
I would be shaken like a leaf by the 10th frame if I know.
Absolutely. How do you stay calm at that point?
The thing is, though, you ever been to a bowling alley, even league play on that, you know, by the time, if you have six in a row, the whole house knows about it.
Yeah.
And they just come down and they filter.
The cameras are out.
Yeah.
It's dead silence. It's probably worse for the kids when everyone stops bowling. Usually about the 10th that happens. But, yeah, that's funny thing about Coleman is he bowled a 300 in the first game, and that 300 takes so much out of you physically and mentally. He struggled the next two. I mean, you want to bowl your 300 in the third game to get your big set.
Off the top of your head, do you know
like
what it's
655.
He bowls a 300 game and doesn't even make a 700 set.
It ruins you. It really does if you get it in the first game. And he did, and I kind of giggled at his set just because you know what he was going. I personally, but you've seen it, that in the third game, that's different.
Almost as much in the first game as the other two put together.
Yeah,
seriously. Yeah. The funny thing is that when you look at the kids, and I'm looking at this list of like the top 25 in Western New York, even just on the boys' side, and any one of those kids can do it. You know, and I would venture to say that most of them in the top 25 have at least gone to at least the ninth frame. You know, with all strikes, and then you know something happens in the 10th, or they've gotten close. Some of them probably have bowled 300 games, but it's pretty amazing.
Is that like all the other things? It's on two different alleys when you bowl?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. And I have to ask this because Tony's waiting, wondering why I didn't ask already. Does he use the same ball on the left side as he does
most
on the right
times
side?
They do. Oh, yeah. Most times they do.
Well, I was watching the guys last night. It's like one lane had have another ball.
It's different in the pro level.
It's superstition, though. It's so true, especially with any sport.
Oh, yeah. But I got to add, Brian Shaver from Maryvale. Bowled a 300 this week. It was in practice, but we were right next to him. So he's capable of it. Yeah. He's one of the better boy bowlers in the area, but he put up a 300 in practice. So
they're a small, I would say Maryvale is one of the small school favorites.
Oh, yeah. Maryvale,
Tonawanda on the boys' side.
Well, Maryvale's been traditional for years.
Yeah, I'm well aware of that.
Well, no.
Are you rubbing it into
No. I'm rubbing it in because the guy that coached Maryvale for many years, Jack Zalotti, I went to high school.
John Zalotti. John, the girls.
He's a former Section 6 chair, too.
Yeah, he went a good 15 years without losing a match, and I contributed to many of those. I had a stretch where I was about
Camp, I thought Roger was giving you the business.
I think he is.
No, it was because
it hurts to say that word, but
you say John, I knew him as Jack. That's how long, far back we go.
John was a character, and I competed against him for many years. So, John missed around the lanes. He pops in, usually around sectionals. He'll pop in, and just it's good to see him.
What are some of the other small schools that are doing well?
Dubuque boys, I'd say. I mean, they've got, you know, they have Andrew Shevsky. He's a great kid. Dylan, he's a good leader. He was on the Section 6 All-Star team last year. They've got a pretty – pretty decent team as well.
Usually around sectionals, you got your good teams, but some of these teams have their horse on the team, and they could pretty much make a difference at sectionals. Last year, Tonawanda had John Kurdziel, who shot a 1,500. That's a 750 average.
Wow.
I mean, their kids shot well, but John was a big difference maker.
That's only 250 a game.
Yeah, that's it. But coincidentally, they won sectionals, and you get a player like that, and some of these teams we've talked about all have that kind of player
that could
put you over the edge by going above and
beyond. If you get two or three bowlers that are rolling 200s consistently, and one of those gets really hot at the sectional tournament, you know, you have a good. Your team has a good shot at winning.
Well, so kind of want to marry.
You
got to
realize
250
a game. If you get 250, you're averaging 250 a game. That's 8 or 9 strikes a game.
Yeah, absolutely, minimum.
Wow,
it leaves me out.
You mentioned that. Now, are there any specific players that you think can carry a team like that in the postseason?
Basically, the teams we mentioned all pretty much have a big boy or a big girl. Like Niagara Falls, Brian Templeton's. He's averaging an insane 224 this year. Niagara Falls is a couple. Dylan Andrzejewski from DePue is why DePue's up there. John Kurdziel and Brian Stone from Tonawanda.
Shaver
why Tonawanda's mentioned. So you start mentioning Maryvale's got Connor, Anthony Shaver, Connor Nowak. And then North Seneca's got four
Parker
or five
Fliss
guys.
From
you
West
can
Seneca,
bring up.
Spencer Geis from West Seneca. I mean, West Seneca's got a good team. Any one of those guys that can go off and they're
what
gonna,
about
they're gonna
for the girls, large and small?
Large schools, it's kind of the same thing. It's down to two, Niagara Falls and Lancaster. Both of them, Lancaster, they've been kind of on paper. Once again, those two should compete for the title. That doesn't mean they're the only
they
two
teams. They shot 1,000. Now, four-man, now think about this. They shot
993 in league for four bowlers. Yeah. That's almost 250 a bowler is a monster
against
game.
Orchard Park.
They've got a core group of girls that have been around, led by Janelle Pezzamenti and Maddie Lee Self. They could do some damage. And
every time I was looking over, there was a strike just going boom.
This could be their year. But Niagara Falls is tough. Niagara Falls won the tournament last week, the Roy Summer tournament. So Niagara Falls girls are ready for them. Orchard Park and Clarence are probably right there. Clarence has got the best individual. They've got a girl, Sarah D'Angelo, 218 average. By far, she's better than most of the boys. She won a state title with us last year on our all-star team. She's just been on fire this whole year. So a player like Sarah gets hot at sectionals, she could pick that Clarence team up and surprise the expected teams that are there.
What are some of the other high averages for the girls?
Well, you know, you were mentioning Sydney Skimmer from Alden. She's averaging right now 207. Melissa Large, great kid who went with the state team last year. She's averaging 204 right now. You have Selk from Lancaster, Seaford from Cleveland Hill, Emma Rome,
one of
Dan's from Cheektowaga, his senior, Ashley Dixon from North Tonawanda, 193. OP has Emily Brock. She's currently averaging right now 191. You got Mackenzie Gilmore from Niagara Falls, Pizzamenti from Lancaster. So there's a good group right in there that they can lead their teams, to a sectional berth. I mean, girls large, I think, as far as girls small, could be. I mean, Dunkirk, the reigning
state champs.
Reigning state champs.
And return everybody. And they return their whole team. And only one of them is a senior this year between Mariah and Rachel Gloniak.
So the pressure's on them.
That is. And I think they know it. But you know what? They handled it great. Last year they were expected, and they just went on a nice run. Michaela Basurb, they have such a nice core group of five girls. Yeah. And they're battle-tested.
Nice kids, too.
Until someone knocks them off, they're I think the clear favorite.
Great fans, I think the whole entire town.
I think they shut down Dunkirk
they
last
shut
year
down
to go to
Dunkirk
really?
Last year
they,
to go.
They brought,
they, there was at least
they
from Dunkirk
last
alone.
Year
there was
state.
At least at the state tournament. There must have been at least, and I'm probably this is probably under the amount. At least 50, 55 people or more.
They brought a big fan. They have a big fan base, and they got a nice program down there.
Tonawanda, Maryvale also will be contenders. Maryvale's got a great team. And Tonawanda and
poor Dan.
Even DePue.
Basically, my whole division.
I was going to say
all that. Dan still comes in to do the show.
You're saying quiet on my girls. My girls are a sleeper, and we've got our big bowler and Emma Roman. If she gets hot, and the girls have been bowling well of late, so hopefully. I'm going to stay quiet
Absolutely.
About the Cheektowaga girls.
You better study those patterns, Coach.
Yeah.
All right, let's
do a sleeper too.
Let's take a break, and when we come back, we'll get into more of the top bowlers and averages and key dates and where you could go and catch some of the action. Don't forget, Sports Talk Saturday follows us at 11. What do we have? Oh, the All-Star game is tonight at 5 o'clock. Give me up on that.
Someone wrote something incorrect on that board. It is at 8 o'clock here on WGR.
Oh, man. Misinformation, fake news on the bulletin board. All right, we'll be back with more Inside High School Sports.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
We're back. One last segment of Inside High School Sports. We are talking boys and girls bowling. Before we get it back into bowling, there's something I wanted to bring up, and it was an event that happened this past week. As you guys know, I've been a big proponent of saving youth football, and Roger, you've been to one of our rallies. The state still being quiet as to when the health subcommittee is going to vote on it. It originally was under the impression that it was going to be early January, but for whatever reason, they won't give a date as to when they're going to vote on it, and they're being pretty quiet about it. But I just wanted to point this out because this happened to my neighbor's son, plays hockey, loves hockey, and he was, I guess during the game, someone lost control, wiped out, and went into my neighbor's son, pushed him into the boards. He sustained a concussion. In fact, it's his fourth concussion, and the doctor said, you're not playing anymore. So all this focus on football, we want to ban football, it's not safe, while we close our eyes to other sports, this is ridiculous, and this is one of the reasons why I bring it up, just to show you the hypocrisy that's going on in the state and with this issue of banning youth football. All right. Back to bowling, coaches. We're talking about the small schools. We're talking about the girls. With the boys, what are some of the high averages?
There's a lot of boys shooting off the charts. Mm-hmm. Niagara Falls has a couple. Like, if you go to the West New York Athletics webpage, you can see everything. All of our stats are on
Matt
there.
Matt Todaro has done an awesome
job. Matt Todaro, he's thank so you easy for to work all with. Your help.
Yeah. Shout out to him for
it,
sure.
He basically has it, like, the first page is just all the boys in order by average. Then you can obviously sort it into divisions, so you get a real good idea. But Niagara Falls got Brian Templeton's just been shooting 224, just lights
that's
out.
Sick.
That's above and beyond. Like, our next best boy is Dylan Andrzejewski at 218 from DePew. So it just kind of tells you how well Brian's shooting. But there's a whole
Stone,
group. Brian
Sam
Stone,
Marino.
Anthony Shaver, Sam Marino, another one from Niagara Falls. Like I said, Niagara Falls goes in with a couple big guys, big guns in there. They do
Nathan
their
Penny
job. They're going to be
Hinsdale.
Tough. Yeah, Hinsdale's actually got two top bowlers, Ethan Ricks and Nate Penny, who are both over 200. So, and once again, we don't know much about them. They don't come to the terms. We don't see them. So that's a team that a small school, you got two kids shooting 200s, and they can do it. Move it up to 230s at sectionals. They could be kind of a quiet team to deal with come sectionals.
Cap, you mentioned Hinsdale. Is that section 6 for bowling? Because they're section 5 for most sports.
They're section 6 for bowling. They are.
Okay.
I mean,
that's
it's
weird.
It is what it is. And they're in our section. And like I said, we'll see them in a couple weeks at sectionals. And they're going to be one of the unknowns. I mean, you don't know what kind of house they're bowling. Are they bowling at a house with an easy shot? Are they bowling at a house with a tough shot? Usually a smaller houses are a lot harder to shoot on, so you never know what they're coming with. But bottom line is numbers don't lie. They're coming with two kids well at 210 and beyond, and they could do some damage there. So
you alluded to a website. Could you say that website for the year?
The WesternNewYorkAthletics.com website, and you could click on it. They cover a whole bunch of sports, but you click on either boys or girls bowling, and then it gives you options. You can see the division records. You can go on individual teams to see the individual stats, or you can just check the individual overall averages for all the kids, boys and girls, and it's what we follow. So I need to give one shout out for one of our boys, Cameron Stark, one of our state kids
great
from
kid.
Last year from
great
JFK,
kid.
Sitting there with a 214 average, clearly the best in his division, just went under an emergency appendectomy the other day. And I'm going to go on a limb. I don't think he's going to be joining us for sectionals. I mean, an appendectomy, you don't just walk back from.
It's a senior year, too. Great kid.
Senior, nice great family. Kid, class kid. I'm hoping he recovers in 2 weeks.
Can he get a waiver for if he doesn't be in the sectionals to go to the states?
You got to qualify for states. I mean, it's no not like we have six that qualify through sectionals. Yeah, it'd be disappointing if he didn't get an opportunity to go back to states. I'm sure he'd be disappointed, but obviously his health comes first.
Yeah. Also, time and date and location for these sectionals?
The boys sectionals is the 12th, Wednesday the 12th of February at Airport Lanes all day. We start at 9 o'clock. The girls is the next day, the 13th. Once again, 9 o'clock. There's a snow day of the Friday. Seeing we haven't had any snow all winter, I'm guessing it's going to pile up that week.
You just
week.
Jinxed us, Dan.
Correct.
Why did you mention that?
I can tell
that,
you right Dan, now.
We're going to be working on Friday. Thank you, Dan Campbell.
There'll be a snowstorm that week. Only because that's when we have our sectionals.
He just mentioned
I did.
It. Tony, he just did it. He did us in.
Snow
on the 12th and the 13th.
If it does, I'm going to be cussing Dan Campbell's name.
And next Saturday, the 1st, is our Section 6 Invitational Tournament at Airport Lanes, hosted by Orchard Park. But that's kind of the precursor. It's the exact same setup as sectional.
It's a preview, and most of the top teams will be there. Bowling starts at 9 o'clock at Airport
How many lanes.
Lanes
do they have at Airport?
Yeah, is that one of the bigger lanes?
60.
It's the largest.
Two?
Then they've expanded. Because a couple years ago, when Thruway Lanes closed, I mean, I remember when they built Thruway Lanes. That's how far back I go. And then all of a sudden, I don't know, it's a car dealership now or something.
Yeah, that happened in the middle of a season. Obviously, that affected Cheektowaga, that's where we bowled.
Amazing. He had to go over and bowl with his crosstown rival,
other schools.
Cleve Hill. Named Maryville.
Dan's really getting worked over this morning. This is not like him.
He's used to it, and he counterpunches with the best
we'll
of
be,
them.
We'll be at the Section 6 Invitational Saturday. We'll be using we have a full tournament. We'll fill out most of the house. We'll go to 52 teams. I think I have 29 boys teams and 23 girls teams.
Man, that's a lot of people.
Nice and, yeah, so they're
because you're
be
also talking
there.
About their families. You're talking about friends.
I'll be a
grandma.
House.
Who
grandpa.
Are some of the better? All right, who are some of the more vocal support groups, fans out there? I know we've talked about Frontier in the past.
Frontier comes with a they travel.
They
well.
Get loud, from what I understand.
When we bowl them at Orchard Park. Strikers
I think the word
is full.
Passionate. I think the word is passionate. Yeah.
Passionate. Thank you.
Niagara Falls has a very passionate fan base. Dunkirk has a passionate town.
They bring the whole town.
They will bring it. It'll be loud. I mean,
Maryvale.
With your problems, I wouldn't recommend coming to the girls' sectionals, Tony. I don't think that's
Orchard
where
Orchard Park brings
be.
They have a good good group.
It's loud.
I would think
when
that
you say
has
to, when you say 9 o'clock start, how long is the all day event?
We'll go to about 11:30, take about an hour lunch, and then we come back about 1 and go to about 3:30.
Really?
Wow.
So
yeah,
it's an all day. You don't have to get there at 9.
Yeah, no, three games in the morning, three games in the afternoon. You know what? If you don't want to spend the day, come after 1 o'clock because that's when.
Roger, if you like basket raffles, my Orchard Park parents put together one heck of a basket raffle for our team fundraiser. So if anybody wants to come out for bowling and take part in a great basket raffle with some awesome prizes, Mrs. Klinky, Tommy's mom, Lexi's mom, she's one of the people that runs it. She does a great job. But, Roger, if you come out in the morning, stop at the basket raffle, or come out and just stop at the basket raffle and watch the afternoon bowling, you'll be all set. But it's six games, and it'll be a lot of fun.
And you have to get French fries because at bowling alleys always rule. I don't know what it is.
I like the popcorn at airport.
Popcorn?
At ECIC's, I get my traditional bag of popcorn.
All right. Well, Dan Kaplan and Joe Biondo, thank you guys so much for spending time with us this morning. Best of luck. You know, let's get some state champions. And best of luck to all the bowlers out there. My pleasure. Next week, we'll be back with more Inside High School Sports.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.